The Towson family was long gone, and renting a vehicle would take precious time, but Jack recalled seeing a Cadillac in Cynthia Porter's driveway. He ran back to Pine Avenue and banged on the front door. Virginia was surprised to see him again so soon, sweating and breathless as he was, but she didn't hesitate. "I'll pray for her," she said, as she pressed the car keys into his hand. Jack made the necessary phone calls while speeding south on I-75, first to Theo, who would fly up with Riley, then to Andy's parents in Seattle. "Should we get in a plane?" her mother asked. Jack flashed forward 30 years, imagining Riley in Andy's place. "I would." Jack made good time to Gainesville, though it seemed to take forever. Another call to Ferguson yielded no further information. Jack left Cynthia's Cadillac with the hospital valet attendant and ran inside. His photo and personal info were already in the system from his previous visits to Mark and Liz, so he breezed through reception and hurried to the waiting room outside the surgery suite. Agent Ferguson introduced himself, the first time Jack had ever met one of Andy's undercover partners.
"How is she?" asked Jack.
"She's been in surgery for about an hour. We'll know soon."
"What happened?"
"Her weapon discharged in close combat. Contact shot to the perp was fatal, but the bullet passed right through. Andy was hit in the ricochet. I had a chance to talk to her for a couple seconds before the airlift. She didn't even know she was shot until we caught up with her."
"Where was she hit?"
"Left kidney."
The pneumatic doors to the surgical suite opened, a doctor emerged, and a nurse pointed her to Jack.
"Mr. Switek."
"Yes."
"Dr. Coleman.
Your wife is one strong woman. She's going to be fine."
Jack wanted to hug her.
"She was sufficiently stable for us to do reconstruction, so we were able to salvage the kidney with pledgeted sutures and wrapping. We'll monitor that over the next few days, but she should have no need for further surgery."
"Thank God. You know she was pregnant, right?"
"Yes. Now, your wife did lose a lot of blood before medics were able to reach her.
But everything is okay?"
"When a pregnant woman loses that much blood so suddenly, it's a shock to the entire system."
Jack understood what she was saying.
"So, I performed a D&C.
Dilation and curettage."
It was a term Jack remembered from Andy's first miscarriage before Riley. "I'm sorry," the doctor said. "She did lose the baby." There was suddenly a hole in Jack's heart. But he didn't let himself fall into it. He was more worried about how Andy would handle the loss.
"Does she know yet?"
"No."
Jack took a breath.
"How long until the anesthesia wears off?"
he asked.
"Another 45 minutes or so. You can sit with her in recovery if you like. Be there when she wakes."
"Thank you," said Jack. "I'd like that."
The doctor pointed him in the right direction and Jack entered the recovery room. It was a large open area with a nurse's station in the center, surrounded on all four walls by patient bays with privacy curtains. Andy was alone in bay number 3. The curtain was peeled back so that the nursing staff could keep an eye on her. She was sound asleep and, Jack had almost forgotten, a dyed blonde. He went to the rail, squeezed her hand, and gave her a kiss. She didn't stir, and her eyes remained closed, but the warmth from her lips was response enough.
"Hey, beautiful," he whispered, still holding her hand.
Jack stayed there, standing at the rail, watching Andy sleep. He thought about how he would break the sad news to her. There was no easy way. "It's no one's fault. We can try again." He watched her for another minute, and then his gaze drifted away. His thoughts went from what had happened to Andy in the last few hours, to what had happened in the last 3 weeks, to what had happened in Live Oak 3/4 of a century ago. He was thinking especially of James Howard coming back from the river, going home to his wife. Maybe sitting down next to her and holding Lula's hand the way Jack was holding Andy's. And then telling his wife what those men had forced him to watch them do to their only child. Jack leaned over the rail, slipped his arms gently around Andy's shoulders, and pressed his cheek lightly against hers. Then he did something he hadn't done in a long time. Something that he'd almost forgotten he could do. He let the tears come. This is Jonathan Davis. We hope you've enjoyed this unabridged production of A Death in Live Oak, a Jack Switek novel by James Rapondo. This program was produced by John Marshall Media. Executive producer, Katie Ostroka. Text copyright 2018 by James Rapondo. Production copyright 2018 by HarperCollins Publishers. All rights reserved. Thank you for listening.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.